All right, we're back for another show today, wrapping up day two of free agency in the NBA. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We've already done a show today, just catching up on the early free agency transactions, and now everything looks like it's shut down for the day. So I'm going to wrap up on what happened since then. The last signing that I did cover off was the Jay Crowder, Jeff Green, Gary Clark trio. So we've got another bunch of moves that were made. Nothing absolutely massive. A couple of interesting ones that happened over the rest of day two. There's not many other dominoes to fall. We're still waiting on news on Anthony Davis and Brandon Ingram, although we know where those guys are going. And then we're waiting on things like where Marc Gasol ends up, for example. So there's not a huge amount of things, not a huge amount of players that we're waiting on. I'm just going to check any other free agent decision. Oh, Bogdan Bogdanovic, that's an interesting one. Then we're waiting on his decision. Let's see on this list. I'm just looking at Real GM's free agency tracker. Chris Boucher, the water boy, Langston Galloway. Like, that's the category of players we're down to. Shabazz Napier, Boogie Cousins, if he goes anywhere. Reggie Jackson, Kent Bazemore, The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, Dario Saric, Svi Mykhailiuk, Hassan Whiteside. He is still left over.
The world!
Juancho Hernan Gomez, Glenn Robinson III, Aaron Bainesy Baines, Alex Len, Markieff Morris, Harry Giles, Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers. So that's where we're getting down to. Emmanuel Mudiay. A name that maybe doesn't get mentioned again on this podcast ever again. Torrey Craig, another guy there as well. So there are quite a there are a few guys left. Nothing absolutely major though in terms of the players that are left. Just a few options there. So let's talk about the moves that were made, and let's start with my mate, your mate, Rajon Rondo going to the Atlanta Hawks. Rondo signs for 2 years and $15 million. He's not going to start, so that's a good thing. I'm a little worried about what is happening with this Hawks team, if we're going to be perfectly honest, because they've brought in guys and bringing in players like Danilo Gallinari, Chris Dunn, and Rajon Rondo. You say, okay, these are good NBA players, but does it fit? Are you trying to become better than you currently are? Are you doing the Detroit Pistons, Charlotte Hornets model and go, look, let's just be the eighth seed for the next 2-3 years? I don't really know why we needed to try and accelerate our timeline with a 32-year-old Gallinari, a 34.5-year-old Rajon Rondo, and a Chris Dunn off his rookie deal who's going to turn 27, so an older player there as well. When you've got the development of DeAndre Hunter, Onyeka Okongwu, Kevin Huerter, Cam Reddish, to John Collins even, a weird, weird scenario. So Rondo comes in, he's going to be presumably the backup point guard, so he'll get all the minutes on the court when Young is off. That's not many. Will they play him and Young together? Where the hell does that leave Chris Dunn? That means Dunn plays 0 point guard minutes. And does that mean Dunn's have to play at the two and the three? Well, then Huerter, Reddish, Hunter, Gallinari. Which one of those guys is missing out? Because at this point, you're looking at Young, Collins, Capella, they're rotation players. Gallinari, rotation player. Reddish, Huerter. Rotation player, right? And then Hunter, where does he fit in? Chris Dunn, Rajon Rondo, like there's, I'm going to try and count these guys up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rotation players that I can see. It doesn't include Tony Snell, and maybe it shouldn't include Tony Snell, but it is, I don't know, it's a weird mix. So I'm just not sure how everybody is getting their minutes or the minutes that they need based on their role or what their presumed role should be on this team. There are absolutely some concerns. with how this rotation looks. Now, Rondo's not going to be a fantasy option. He's not going to play enough minutes. But it is going to impact guys like Reddish, who many were thinking would take a big step forward. Maybe he does, but it's going to have to come at the expense of Dunn, of Herter, of Reddish there as well. And they're not Dunn. They, sorry, not Reddish. Someone else who I'm completely blanking on. But yeah. They're still in the mix for Bogdan Bogdanovic as well, which would really, really mix things up for this squad. So the Rondo signing is curious. Imagine seeing your backcourt have a Dunn and Rondo pairing. That is horrendous from a spacing perspective. I don't know how that would work. And how do all these guys fit in? So let's try and game out their rotation. So it's Young, Reddish, Gallinari, Collins, Capella. All right, there's your starting five. Let's assume that that's where the Reddish starts. So then your backups are Rondo, Dunn, Herter, Hunter, Okongwu. Yeah, maybe, but are you playing Hunter exclusively as a backup four? Is Herter playing exclusively as a backup three? Dunn exclusively as a backup two? Like, it's a weird, weird mix. So while that is 10 rotation guys, it means that players who probably should be getting 25 minutes a night are going to be like getting 15 minutes a night. So it is a weird one in terms of how that fits. I don't hate the money on it. For the next move, which was Paul Millsap going to the Denver Nuggets, well, he just goes back. 1 year, $10 million deal. He goes back. He starts at power forward for them. And he's probably not a fantasy guy because he's not going to play a ton of minutes. Now, their rotations are also an interesting one. They lost Jeremy Grant, sure. But Michael Porter Jr. is probably going to start. So that's going to push Will Barton to the bench. You're going to have Millsap starting. There's Jermichael Green coming in there. They brought over Fasundu Campazzo. So is he going to be in the rotation? Who gets the last rotation spot? PJ Dozier, Bol Bol, Zeke Nagy? I think Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap will play a lot of backup center. Porter will play some of the backup four as well as the starting three. Yeah, questions for that 10th man in that rotation spot. Again, Millsap's not going to be a real fantasy option, I don't think, because he's really past that area of his career. He shot remarkably well from three last year, but he's still got something to give. It just won't be enough minutes for him to be a draftable guy. Kenny Wooten goes from the Knicks to the Rockets, a massive, massive high block rate guy that was signed to a two-way contract by the Knicks and then hurt his knee, never played for them. The Rockets claimed that contract on waiver, so he's over there on a two-way deal. Maybe just can they use him at all as a backup to Christian Wood? Maybe. He's an interesting upside-y type of guy just to take a look at, so I don't mind that move. And Jalen Adams goes to Milwaukee on a two-way deal. I think Adams has got a little bit of talent, played or was with Portland in the bubble, has played for Atlanta before. I think he's got third-string point guard ability. The big news, I guess, from this first bunch of signings is Carmelo Anthony going back to Portland. And like Atlanta and like Denver and like so many of these teams, it's pretty crowded in Portland. We've got Dame Lillard, we've got CJ McCollum, right? They're locked in. Yusuf Nurkic is your starting center, locked in. But then what happens? I don't know. Gary Trent was really, really good in the bubble. He deserves minutes. Robert Covington is a 30-minute a night player easily. He just came across. Rodney Hood has just signed to a big contract. And he is a 2-3. You just signed a 2-year, $20 million deal for Derek Jones Jr. He's a 3-4. Zach Collins is your number 10 pick from 3 years ago. Maybe this injury is taking a long time to heal for him, but he's a 4-5. They just brought Enes Kanter in. So your guys like Nasir Little's not going to play. Anthony Simons probably isn't going to play. Enes Kanter probably won't play every night. It's just a weird situation. Is Melo going to start over Covington, Collins, Hood? No, Jones won't start, but yeah, Hood probably won't coming off the Achilles either. But will they start Melo and Covington at the 3-4 and have Collins coming off the bench? Have Hood coming off the bench? Have Trent coming off the bench? How do the minutes go around? I think, Melo was a nice story last year. I think the way that he played was significantly overstated, but he was better than he was in Houston and OKC. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. It's a weird one. Again, it's probably going to be a one-year deal here for Melo, but his role is really, really curious on this team. I just don't know what it's going to be. The Knicks bring back Lord Alfred Payton, presumably to be their starting point guard. Yeah, that worked so well last year for him. Of course, he's a CAA agent, so they brought him back, so they brought him back onto the team to compete slash just take the job off Dennis Smith Jr. and Frank Ntilikina. Peyton, what is he, a 24, 25 minute a night player, 28 maybe. Look, he's worth at least a fantasy look over Frank and Smith for sure. They're not going to be putting Emmanuel quickly into that role because he isn't a point guard. He's a undersized, really good shooting guard. But it's just, it lacks imagination. It lacks excitement to me that Peyton's coming back. Maybe he can put up some numbers, but I don't really think there's huge amounts to get interested in. 1 year, $5 million. This is a contract that many of you will be going, literally who? And that is Amita Brimmer, a center going to the Indiana Pacers. He's going to be like the fourth string center. Sabonis, Turner, Goga, Badadze.
Problem with my Gogo-mobile.
No, not the dart. Not the dart.
Yeah, the dart's still there. So Brimmer comes in as the fourth string center. That's not a move that's really all that interesting. But he does go to Indiana. Cam Reynolds, another move that's not that interesting, goes across to the Spurs. He's a handy wing player who's not going to be in the rotation. This is not moving the needle. But I tell you what is moving the needle: Tristan Thompson to Boston. Now, this is a really strong move from Boston. 2 years, $19 million for Tristan Thompson. Look, his minutes in Cleveland, it clears up a lot for Cleveland because we get Drummond, Love, Nance in that front court now. So it's a lot easier to work it out because when Thompson was there, it's like, how the hell is this shit going to go down? Thompson's gone. He goes across to Boston where the starting center was Daniel Tice. Is it going to remain Daniel Tice? I'm not sure. What I think it does do is it obviously, I think it just clearly takes Robert Williams out of the mix for any sort of fantasy relevant minutes. Tice and Thompson could easily just go 24 and 24. But this is another thing we need to remember, right? Tristan Thompson played 30 minutes a night last year. He was 136th ranked player. He has literally never been a top 100 or even a top 120 player in fantasy. Never. In 30 minutes a night consistently. He just isn't. He's a bad free throw shooter. He doesn't block shots. He doesn't get steals. He doesn't hit threes. He doesn't get assists. He's okay for his field goal percentage at the moment. He's low usage. He just isn't a good fantasy player. And no, going to Boston doesn't make him better. It doesn't make him good. It doesn't make him superb option. It means that he is going to play, maybe he plays 23. Maybe he plays 27, but it's never going to be enough to be anywhere close to a top 100, top 120 type of player. I think that Tice probably does fit the Celtics lineup better on most nights. Now, Thompson is a lot stronger than Daniel Tice, so against bigger, stronger centers. Like we saw last year, we got a bit of Enes Kanter in that matchup against Joel Embiid. Yeah, Thompson is going to excel in that, but in terms of moving the ball, in terms of offensive ability, Tice, I think, is a better player than Thompson. Thompson, a better rebounder, there's no doubt about that, a really strong offensive rebounder, and quite a good defender, although Tice is a really good defender too. I would make the argument that Tice is probably a marginally better player than Tristan Thompson, but the Thompson acquisition absolutely helps the Celtics. Now, it hurts that they lost Gordon Hayward, of course. Like, that, this doesn't make up for that under any stretch. And what this does do, though, for in terms of losing Hayward, means Marcus Smart's value is going to go through the roof. He's going to start. How they replace Smart in that second unit, man, they are expecting an awful lot of Romeo Langford, who, I use that word awfully there because that's how he played last year. To be fair to him, though, he was pretty good defensively. It's just offensively, he's got no idea, and he's a long way off. But defensively, he was okay. He's gonna have to be a rotation guy at this point with the way their roster looks, or they're gonna have to put Aaron Nesmith straight into a rotation and expect something from him. Because that losing Gordy Hayward takes 30 minutes out of your bench rotation, putting Marcus Smart into that starting lineup. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he goes back to the Lakers on a 3-year. $40 million deal. The last year of that has some non-guarantees in it as well. So he'll move into the starting lineup, or he'll return to the starting lineup. Wes Matthews is there. Dennis Schroeder is there. Do they go to that same situation where it's just Matthews replacing Bradley and we get LeBron as the nominal point guard? I'm not sure. There is the other spot there with Danny Green. So we're probably going to get a Schroeder, KCP, Matthews, James. No, there's someone else I'm missing there, isn't it? Because, all right, does KCP start? I think he's going to have to. Yeah, KCP will have to start for the Lakers. What do they do with Montrezl Harrell? It's going to come down to Harrell or Schroeder as to whether they start, because we'll have LeBron, KCP. You'll have Matthews, probably. Davis. I don't know. There's a few question marks with that LA starting lineup. They've got to really sort of try and figure out as to how that all fits together and the direction they go. Do they just run Schroeder and Harrell off the bench and go LeBron with the wings and Davis and another center, which is JaVale McGee? Do they start him again? They shouldn't, but they might go, you know, McGee, Davis, LeBron, KCP, and Matthews with Schroeder and Harrell off the bench. Yeah, maybe that's the direction they go on this team. So, yeah, KCP, look, that's all for me to say. I'm just working this shit out on the fly. Like, maybe, yeah, that's how they go. KCP, probably not going to be a fantasy option, most likely, although he was really good in the playoffs, and he's a guy that can hit some threes, but not someone that I really want to rely upon in a fantasy-type situation. Next up, the backup point guard in Boston, which I think is a pretty big loss because Marcus Smart's going to start, as I said, with Gordon Hayward. Brad Wanamaker's gone. He's gone to the Warriors. So do they want Peyton Pritchard to be their starting backup point guard? No, because there's a bloke that they signed later on who's going to take that spot, which we'll get to in a second. Just a bit of a tease. Brady Wanamaker goes to the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors were looking at their backup point guard being Jordan Poole or being Nico Mannion. So this is a massive upgrade. Now, Wanamaker's not going to be a fantasy-relevant player, but he gives them 48 consistent minutes at point guard. If Curry gets injured, Wanamaker will probably start and probably be an interesting option there for it, but it is just a really nice signing for them. Wesawundu goes to Dallas. He won't be part of the rotation most likely over there, so not much to see. Well, Nerlens Noel goes to the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson is, of course, there. I was going to say he's, of course, their starter, but, mate, I don't even know anymore.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
So Mitch Robinson's there. Will he be? He should be their starter. Noel gets his 19, 20 minutes, which is what his best role is. It means we probably don't get 32 minutes of Mitch Robinson. We might get 27 and 21, 20 of Noel. And I think that's fair enough. You've, of course, got Randall and Toppin in that front court. So it is pretty crowded so far in that front court. And if you are, you're expecting big, big rookie numbers from Obi Toppin, I reckon you're going to be pretty disappointed just looking at the players that are currently there. And especially bringing Noel in now. Now, Nerlens can be a stream option for steals and blocks, but under no circumstances is someone that I'm going to want to draft unless Thibodeau comes out and says, no, he's our 30-minute a night starting center, which he's not going to do. Garrison Matthews. Is he a nice Gary?
Nice Gary!
Thought he played pretty well. We know he had that massive game against the Heat last year. He's brought back to the Wizards, upgraded him off the two-way. He got the qualifying offer on the restricted free agency deal. Good shooter, bit older, but nothing too exciting. Well, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
That is the one. He has gone to Boston as their backup point guard. Now, I've only seen it reported by Adam Himmel's back, I think it is. I haven't seen Shams or Woj or Stein talk about that. But that is, it's a good move. Now, I believe at the beginning of last season, I said, look, if you had Teague in a dynasty league, sell him because this is the last year he's going to start in the league. And it obviously is. Like, he is a backup point guard now. He's a solid enough backup point guard, but he's not going to play huge minutes. Maybe it's 20 a night. The shooting for him can be rough. Defensively, he's an issue. Like, he's just not that good anymore. We've seen where Jeff Teague is in his career. He's 32 years of age as well. It's fine to bring him in as a backup on a, you know, probably a one-year deal here. Last bunch of signings to talk about before we sign off. Javon Carter goes back to Phoenix. He was a restricted free agent, came across in the Josh Jackson salary dump. 3 years, $11.5 million, shot the ball really well. Now, he was a good shooter in college, horrible as a rookie, and then back to a 40% guy last year. With Chris Paul and Devin Booker in your backcourt, Campaign is your backup point guard. Carter's probably more of a two than a one at this point, but good value for a guy who's a solid, very solid rotation guard, can shoot a little bit, can defend really high level as well, and that's just a good price, and it's a good piece of business. And then the last move of the day was Serge Ibaka. He goes to the Clippers for the same price that Montrezl Harrell went to the Lakers. Now, interestingly enough, Montrezl Harrell's block rate is higher than Serge Ibaka. Ibaka is not a shot blocker anymore. He has lost that completely. It's been consistently going down. He is not a shot blocker. But he's a guy that can shoot a little bit, although his three-point attempt rate has gone down pretty consistently. I think he's still a better defender than Harrell. He's a better shooter, And I think it's a really strong play. Now, having Ibaka there absolutely hurts Ivica Zubac, who was primed for a top 100 season. And Ibaka's probably going to play 28 a night. He can play a little bit alongside Zubac. You wouldn't want to do a huge amount, especially when you've got Marcus Morris, Kawhi Leonard, who can play up to the four. But remember, they also lost Jermichael Green, who was getting some backup 4 minutes. Now, they've got Patrick Patterson there. They would not want to use him, it would be my guess. But they did a few times inexplicably last year. But do we get some Ibaka-Zubac lineups? Zubac probably only needs 24 minutes a night to be worth a late-round pick, but Ibaka has really eaten into his value here. I think it's a massively strong pickup by the Clippers. I hated them signing Marcus Morris yesterday. I wasn't that worried about them losing Montrezl Harrell, and especially now that they've replaced him with what I think is a superior player in Serge Ibaka. I think it's a really good move for them. And I think the move makes sense. We don't have to worry about these Harrell 20-minute straight second halves in the closing lineup. And yes, Doc Rivers isn't there anymore, but we don't have that specter of Harrell being an unplayable player down the stretch when Ibaka can come in and actually be pretty useful if you don't want to use Zubats down the stretch. So I think it's a really good option. He's got a player option as well on the back end of that. Good old Serge Ibaka. So I think that's a really, really strong move by the Clippers after, you know, overpaying for Morris yesterday and after losing Montrezl Harrell. So some pretty good options, a pretty good option for the Clippers to get Serge in there. That'll do it for me today. I just had a quick look. Nothing's happening. It looks like Marc Gasol is getting interest from the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. That would be, imagine he goes to the Warriors. That your James Wiseman fantasy value. I saw somewhere they said you're probably going to have to reach into the top 50 to draft James Wiseman. If you want to draft James Wiseman in the top 50, by all means, knock yourself out. I would not be touching him. I would not be touching him with anything. I was going to say, I wouldn't touch him with my dick. I wouldn't touch him with your dick. That is how far I'd be staying away from James Wiseman in the top 50. And Marc Gasol going to the Golden State Warriors would obviously put a massive pin in that one. So we'll keep it up to date with that one tomorrow. Guys, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.